Welcome to the Childcare Business Coach Podcast with Evelyn Knight, where mindset mechanics come together for success. Evelyn Knight is the leader of the ECE revolution and is on a mission to touch 1 million children's lives through the elevation of the ECE community.
Hello and good morning. I hope everyone had a wonderful weekend and that everything is going well for you. Today is going to be a beautiful week, but I am not going to waste your time with greetings. One of my pet peeves on podcasts that I usually fast forward through. So if you're new here, my name is Evelyn Knight. I am the host of the Child Care Business Coach podcast, which you can find all over the place on my YouTube channel and everywhere. And by the way, make sure that you subscribe and like and give me a good review. I really, really do appreciate it. We really count on the love out there. And I put out so much. I get a lot of emails and messages say, hey, what can we give back to you? Well, that's what you can give back to me. You can review me. You can give me a 5-star review on whatever platform that you're listening to me on, or if you're watching YouTube, or subscribe and like the video. That I really do appreciate. And so last week, I taught 4 different times. It was a little crazy, not something I do very often, but 4 different days in a row, for 4 different venues. And each time I had to really shift gears every time. It was a different audience each time, totally different people. And it can get difficult when you're training and teaching and facilitating different things. And you have to keep just switching gears. And it's interesting because I was really surprised by the end of the week on Saturday after I taught my last session. I realized that I had spoken to about 5,000 people last week alone. And throughout the entire last 30 days, after I really sat and added it up, it was over about 5,500 people that I've spoken to. And the thing that really jumped out at me, and I decided I was going to do this episode on for you guys, was there was one thing. No matter who the audience was, whether it was an audience of teachers, whether it was an audience of just leaders, owners, directors, or other types of leaders in the field of ECE, there was one thing that just, one recurring theme that kept coming up. And it was on toxicity and just really figuring out if, I'm sorry, I'm trying a new setup there. So if I'm moving my stuff around, it was on toxicity and toxic environments and having a healthy workplace. That was the one theme, no matter what group of people I was talking about, kept coming on over and over again. So I want to dive into that a little bit. And when I'm training, if you've been to one of my trainings at all or a presentation, whatever, I always really read the crowd. And sometimes I will pivot and I will shift off of what I'm teaching if I feel like my audience needs to hear something different, if I'm really getting this sense of this is what they're struggling with. I love spending time talking to the people before I speak a lot of times, or after I speak, or during the breaks. I really love talking because I can get a sense for what do you really need, right? And I want to serve. God put me here to increase the quality in early childhood education. And my passion is serving you leaders so that you take it back to your children and make your centers a better place. And all leaders, not just people in centers, anyone pouring into the early childhood education world. And so that's why I'm not going to stay married to a script or a slide that I've created, and I'm okay with pivoting when I need to pivot. That is, oh, thank you, Shalyn. Shalyn says, we appreciate that so much. I want to meet your needs. And the need that I saw overwhelming last week was the need to understand toxicity in centers. For my own personal members, I've been teaching toxicity now. It's been about a month, but there's the one thing that came up every single time I spoke last week is what I want to talk about today. And for those of you listening to the podcast, I have a visual for this that I'm probably not going to share just because it's going to be hard for those of you, the people listening. So we're going to talk about it. But I've created something to help people understand what's happening and to help you to see if maybe you are the toxic one in your environment. And you may just not even know it. I know I was. I will be the first to admit I was a very toxic boss at one point. I just didn't get it. I didn't see what I was doing to my staff. I was a victim. I was stuck in a victim mentality, and I was really just bringing them down to a certain extent. So I realized I had to get out of the victim mentality. And there's three different big overarching when it comes to leadership that can make us the toxic people. And you might see this in your staff too. It's not just for management. This could also be your staff. And I'm trying to actually open up my slide so I can see it as I go through. And I don't, oh, there we go. I don't want to miss one for you guys. But like I was saying, there is being the victim, right? Where everything is happening to you. And we all know that overt victim where it's like, oh my gosh, my dog died this week. My, you know, everything is always happening to them. If they just create this life of absolute chaos. That was me. Once upon a time, I had a life that I felt was absolutely chaotic. And I didn't realize it's because I was creating the chaos in my life all the time, all over the place, right? And that's when you're in it, it is so hard to understand. And it's going to be a lot more than a podcast episode for me to help you to understand that. But the second is a person who has to micromanage, who has to be in control, who no matter what anyone does, it's got to be your way. And basically, that's going to look a little bit different as well, where you might leave your staff for a week to go on vacation. And when you get back, everything isn't exactly how you wanted it to be, right? The processes weren't done the way you wanted to be. So now you come in and you have an attitude of, I just can't leave on vacation. I just can't do it because they don't do it right. They don't do it my way. And what it really comes down to is it's not that they did it wrong. They just didn't do it your way. And that is a big problem because you're creating your own hell, to be honest with you. When you can't leave your center, you can't take a vacation. And for some of my clients, you need to hear this too. You need the tough love of hearing this. Sometimes you create your own nightmare. You are. There are so many of you. This is the biggest one I see out there when it comes to being a toxic manager. You are creating your own nightmare because everything has to be your way. It doesn't matter. If the end results are the same, if the quality for the children, this isn't about you. Okay, here's some tough love. It's about the children. And if the end results are the same and the children are getting what they need, and licensing is getting what they need. And for my center, it would have to be, we are still performing at a 5-star quality level. Then why does it matter? Why does it matter? This was something I had to come to terms with as well. And I am a big processes girl. I'm a big processes girl. And we do have to stick to processes. I'm not saying we don't. But I had to learn to be open to the processes my staff comes up with. Because sometimes theirs is better than mine. And it's okay to admit that. And it makes you a stronger, better leader for not everything to have to be your way. So if you're going into your center and wondering why nobody ever steps up, it's probably because you're crippling them. It is in human DNA to want to please and for people to want to do good. But we crush that in people. We literally crush it. It's so important that you hear me. So think of it this way. If you're wondering, like, why do they come and ask me for everything? Why can't they just make a decision by themselves? Why can't they? That is you. I'm telling you right now, I know that's hard to hear, but it is you. You have made them feel very uncomfortable with stepping into themselves and with really being able to make a decision So what I usually see happening here is somebody will make a decision, right? And they'll take an action. You're not going to like how they did it. And a lot of times it's because it didn't involve you. It may have nothing to do with what they did. But, and you're not admitting this to yourself yet until you really get down deep, right? And so you're coming in and undoing everything they did. Or they're coming to you and they're saying, hey, how do you want me to deal with this situation as a parent? And you may say what the healthy thing to say is, how do you think you should? And then they say to you, well, this is what I think we should do. And then you say to them, no, I think we need to do it this way. Okay. When you do that, when you say, no, I think we need to do it this way, they're basically saying that their opinion isn't valued. They're not smart enough, good enough to make that decision. So why should they come up with ideas for you? Why should they have initiative? If every single time they've had initiative in the past, they're shot down. And I know some of you are thinking out there, oh no, you don't understand. I'm telling you, try it. Try it for a week. Empower your staff. Stop micromanaging. You're just creating your own nightmare. The other one that is a big toxic trait that we see is the savior. I am the savior. This probably will be my biggest struggle forever. This is one of the other reasons why you are dealing with that same situation that we just talked about, where it's that they can't do anything for themselves because you never let them fall down. And that's hard. It is really hard. I get it. Especially when you're running your company and it's hard. But if you always swoop in to save everybody, if you're always the one there to help them pick up the pieces, to problem solve, then how are they ever going to learn to do it for themselves? They're not. And if so, this is how you can tell. One of the best ways to tell if you're a savior is when you hear someone coming to you and they're telling you like, oh my gosh, this is what I'm going through. If you automatically go into, oh my gosh, I have to fix this, right? And that's not the thought that goes into your head, but you start thinking of solutions and you start saying things like, well, why don't you try to do this? And have you done this? And have you, or like you see the person struggling with something and you're the one who starts a GoFundMe, always feeling that inclination that you have to be the one to do something. You're a savior, right? You're a savior too. And I'm here to tell you, we can't save them all. I know it's so hard, isn't it? It is so hard. And it's the one I've been able to overcome my micromanaging. I've been able to overcome my victim mentality, but being a savior is, it's the hard one. Now I don't swoop in. I don't swoop in to save people. And I try. I mean, sometimes I do. I'm not going to pretend like I don't, but I'm really much more consciously aware of it now. And, but it's still painful. It is very hard to watch someone struggle and not swoop in to save them. And, but I also realize that I'm hurting them. And this was when I really realized I've got to stop, because I realized that I am hurting people more by saving them all the time, because I am stifling their growth. I'm not allowing them to become the next best version of them. I'm not allowing them to discover how to do things on their own. I am stealing such a big part of their life because I'm always trying to save everybody. So that's what I'm working on, is not being a savior. And so now I watch from a distance, and you probably see it too in so many ways, right? And parenting, when you know you can see it coming, you watch this disaster that's unfolding in front of you. And you know, if they just did this, it would all go away. But we can't step in to save them, because how do you learn? We learn by falling down and getting back up. And if people don't feel the pain of that failure, they're not going to learn how to get back up. I told a story at one of the trainings I did last week about there was this young man, and he was walking down the street in an old Alabama neighborhood. And he was staying in an Airbnb, and it was beautiful over by the bayou. And suddenly he hears this dog yelping, like just yelping in pain. He's like, I just wonder what is going on there. couple days go by, and every evening when he takes his walk, he hears the same dog yelping. So finally, he says, I'm going to go help this poor creature. And he follows the sound and finds a dog sitting next to an old man who is sitting on a rocking chair, rocking on his porch. And the dog is just laying next to him, yelping. And the young man says, why is he screaming? Why aren't you helping him? And the old man says to the younger man, well, he's laying on a nail. He can get up anytime he wants. And the younger man says, why doesn't he just get up then? And the old man says, I reckon it just doesn't hurt enough. We stay stuck in our pain, in the things that cause us so much pain in life, until it hurts enough to change, until we're feeling so much discomfort that we have no choice but to change. So when we swoop in to save everybody, we're not allowing them that moment for themselves to change. So just think about that. That's when I realized that I got to stop saving people. I'm doing them so much more harm than I am doing good. But there's other things that can also be very toxic that you may not even realize is making you the toxic leader. And it's really important for us to make sure that we're really just helping our staff by not being the toxic person. There's a lot of covert toxic traits out there that we don't even realize are toxic, like that passive aggressiveness we see so many places. There's so many different things that make us be the toxic leader, right? If you're engaging in the gossip, if you're passive aggressive, if you're not being compassionate and showing empathy, you're probably the toxic one in your center. And just understand, every single one of us goes through toxic phases in life. This isn't just about you, just not about me. We all go through toxic phases, and we all have toxic characteristics. The key is being aware. That is the absolute key, is being aware of our toxic traits and working towards fixing them. Constant, never-ending growth. That is the true sign of achievement, is when we never stop growing. So I hope this was helpful to you guys today. I did want to add one last thing. Last week, I talked about being a leader with ADHD. I am still considering doing a topic on how to lead someone with ADHD, but I am the one with ADHD, so that one's a little bit more difficult for me. I'm sorry, I have to sneeze. Excuse me. Well, that's the beauty of doing this live, right? If I was recording the podcast, I could pause the sneeze and go on, but can't do it when it's live. So with the ADHD, there was one very important point I felt like I forgot to make last week. And I really want to make that point before I go, because it really bothered me to the point that I actually lost sleep over the fact that I didn't say this last week. If you are one of the people who have ADHD like me, if you are someone who has ADHD like I do, and you're living in a lot of shame, if you're living in shame because you're not getting this done, you're not getting that done, whatever it is, I want you to know that it is not a character flaw. Okay? It is not a character flaw. It's not you. It is no different than somebody who has diabetes that needs to take insulin. This is literally something that is physiologically going on with your brain. So that was a huge, huge release for me when I realized it wasn't a character flaw. But a lot of the things that make me just the side effects of ADHD, right? I used to see them as a character flaw, and I would see myself and just compare to others and just think like, why can't I get myself together? So I know that wasn't our topic today, but it kind of does go along with toxicity, because I would have labeled a lot of my ADHD traits in the past as me being toxic. And I thought I was very toxic because of a lot of those traits. And I've realized that now it was, oh my gosh, it was like freedom when I realized that it's not my character. It's not who I am. It's a condition. So I hope that helps anyone who listened, if you heard last week's episode and it really struck a chord with you and you are living in that shame and guilt, just know it's not your character. It is not a reflection of you. It is a condition. I hope everybody has a wonderful rest of their week. And again, don't forget to subscribe and like and leave me a review. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining Evelyn today. For more information, please visit childcarebusinessprofessionals.com.